Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Welcome back to week 3 of our Advent series. Today, we will focus on joy. Now, before I begin, I need to share with you about our 2020 vision campaign. If you follow Justice for Orphans, you know we launched Care Portal in 2 Capital Region counties here in New York. Care Portal just celebrated over 50,000 children served nationwide. 500 of those kids were right here in Albany and Schenectady counties. We implemented Care Portal over a year ago. Local churches are partnering with us to serve and minister to local children and families in crisis. JFO has a goal to launch Care Portal in at least 1 new Capital Region county in 2020. We are praying about what county is next. Maybe Greene, maybe Columbia. But we need the funding to do it. You can help us help more local children and families in crisis with a $20 monthly gift, just $20. Now, if 83 people committed to $20 a month, we would have enough to launch both Greene and Columbia counties in the new year. $20 a month is the equivalent to $240, so maybe you're in a position to just give the $240 all at once. But small monthly gifts have a huge impact. So please pray and consider partnering with Justice for Orphans. You can give safely and securely online. Just go to justicefororphansny.org. And if you'd like to mail a check, you can find our address also on the website as well. So thank you for considering. Okay, back to Advent. Now, if you have not listened to the first 2 episodes in this series, I invite you to go back and check them out. Advent is a season of anticipating the arrival of Christ. It's a time to focus on the hope, peace, joy, and love found only in Christ. Our first 2 episodes focused on hope and peace. Today, we're going to talk about joy. Now, I opened the beginning of the show with the Christmas hymn, Joy to the World. The Lord has come. Have you received the King? Have you prepared a place in your heart for him to dwell? Well, if you have, you can sing and rejoice and experience joy. If you haven't, I encourage you to find a church, reach out to another believer, or even contact us on our website. We would love to help you with that. Just as with hope and peace, joy is not based on my circumstances. I must choose joy. Sometimes we find ourselves in circumstances or situations that leave us wondering why God has us in that place. Things in life don't go as we expect them to. When I was in Ukraine 13 years ago and I experienced trials and challenges, I was stuck there for 6 weeks. I missed Christmas at my home with my family. I had to guard my heart from blaming God. After all, it would have been easy to say, he called us to the adoption. We were being obedient. God should be working everything out for us. This shouldn't be happening. But as we talked about last week, we find peace in the presence of Jesus. It's the same with joy. We experience true joy when we experience Christ. Joy is found in his presence, no matter our circumstances. Through difficult seasons, we can experience joy in the Lord and even see him move in miraculous ways. In fact, some of the greatest joys I've experienced happened in the midst of challenges. I've shared some adoption stories throughout this Advent series, and the adoption process to bring our 3 kids home back in 2007, home from Ukraine, was a roller coaster ride. Days of we're making progress and there's some victories. And then there'd be these huge disappointments and setbacks. And it was every day up and down, sometimes multiple times in a day. And on this one particular time, after several days filled with disappointment and defeat, I spent the weekend really pressing into God. So I woke up Tuesday morning, January 2nd, with a worship song running through my head. And a couple of the lines from that were, "Praise be to God who leads us in his triumph. Praise be to God who's got the victory." Well, I was prayed up and ready for victory as I hopped into the car with my facilitator, Arena. Our agenda that day was to go to the first village in Boyarka, where Jordan had been, and obtain the passport application and the documents necessary for his passport to be applied for. We had to do that in the region where he had been living in the orphanage. Then we would have to go to the other area, the other region in the village of Vasilkiv, to get the passport documents and everything we needed there for the other two kids, 9-year-old Andre and 7-year-old Anna. With these documents in hand, we could then go to the central passport office in Kiev to apply for the passports. It's a key step. You have to have passports to travel and to bring the kids home. So as I slid into the back seat, ready for victory that day and so ready to go home after having been there for 6 weeks, Irina turned around and in her broken English said something like, "Good morning. Today in my country is holiday. Government offices are closed, but we will try." Not what I wanted to hear. My victory song collapsed in defeat. In the United States, if it's a holiday and the government offices are closed, we don't even get out of bed. Why would we go there and do business? We will try? I was just a wreck. But off to Boyarka we went to try. Now, we pulled into this village and parked in a parking lot near the office where Irina would go in, and I stayed in the back seat of this car, and Irina went off to try to do this business, and I just sat there so defeated. Like, I couldn't even really pray. I was just discouraged and defeated. But after sitting there for several minutes, it dawned on me she had not come back to the car. If the office was really closed, she would have been back right away. So I realized the longer she was gone, the better the news would be. And I began to pray. It was like a mustard seed size, you know, that mustard seed of faith. It started out very tiny and almost not even there, but then it began to grow. And I just began to pray these fervent prayers that Arena would not come back, that she would be gone a really long time because she was getting our paperwork done. And I just desperately pleaded with God. And probably maybe after about 30 minutes, Arena came back to the car and she got in the front seat and she turned around and looked at me and she kind of had a surprised look on her face. And she said, "Well, the lights were off and the door was locked and the office was closed, but there was a woman inside and she let me in and she processed our paperwork and I have it." We just were both stunned. So with the first piece of paper in hand that we needed, we then headed off to Vasilkiv. And all the way there, it's about a little over an hour ride to this next village, I just began to pray, like fervent, passionate prayers that God would do it again. It just seemed like he had just done the impossible. Well, what would be impossible for us, right? But not impossible for God. Would he do it again? In 1 hour's time, would he repeat that miracle? We arrived in Vasilkiv. We parked on a side street. I stayed in the back seat. Arena went down the street and headed to this office building. And I prayed my heart out that she would not come back right away, knowing the longer she was gone, the better the news would be when she got back. And again, after about 30 minutes, she came back to the car, got in the front seat, and she repeated the same scenario. The lights were off. The door was locked. The office was closed. But there was a woman inside, and she had let Arena in, and they processed the paperwork, and she had the passport applications for the other two kids. So off to Kiev we went, to the central passport office. Now, I really doubted that this office would be open because it's in the capital city and, you know, all kinds of government things happen there. And it was late in the day, even it had gotten dark, but we pulled into the parking lot, and this time Irina invited me to come in with her. And I went into this office, and it was actually open. Not all of the lights were on, and it seemed like maybe they were doing business with a skeleton crew. But I stood and waited in a waiting area, and Irina went and started talking to this young, very beautiful Ukrainian young woman behind a desk. And they were chatting, and I had no idea what they were saying. And they would laugh occasionally, and then papers would go back and forth between the two of them. And I couldn't even read what was going on. But as we left the building, Irina said to me, "Oh, that girl is very nice. Her father and my father have the same first name, and her first name is my middle name. And oh, she said she would have our passports ready tomorrow morning, tomorrow by noon." And I was like awestruck, shocked. It was a third miracle in one day. And Irina just acted like it was normal by now. And for me to think that three passports will be ready by noon the next day. But somehow there was just this cordial friendship that struck up between Irina and this girl. And the girl said, "Oh, I'll do this for you." It was just an amazing, miraculous experience. God moved mountains that day. I would have never experienced those miracles if I had not been obedient to God's call on my life to adopt. And at the same time, I had to walk through the trials that came with it. My greatest joys also brought the greatest challenges of my life. Sometimes these things go hand in hand. The waiting I endured before traveling to Ukraine and the six-week roller coaster ride while I was there, only the beginning of the trials and the challenges. You see, the journey didn't end once we were home with the kids. Oh no, the adventure had only begun. As the weeks and months moved forward, the adoption changed my life. Things were never the same again. We don't like change. I like routine, but everything changed, right? Bringing home three new children impacted our whole family, mostly in wonderful ways. It impacted my marriage or the relationship between my husband in very positive ways. I had to learn how to parent completely different. Parenting children with a trauma background is completely different than parenting biological children. Now I have children with special needs. I had to learn about how to be a trauma competent parent. One of my kids has had multiple surgeries over the years, which 13 years later, it's still an ongoing process with surgeries. In fact, at a time in my life when most women my age are enjoying the empty nest, my nest is still full, and it may be full for a very long time to come. I'm now learning to navigate life as a wife and as a mom with still three kids at home, grandchildren who I adore, an aging parent with Alzheimer's, a thriving ministry. Lots of challenges are wrapped up in that list in my life. We can experience joy through suffering. Suffering can be the result of obedience. Doing good, doing what God calls us to do, does not make us exempt from suffering. It seems kind of upside down. It seems like if we're doing what God wants us to do, we should be able to have things go smoothly and easily, right? But that's not how it works. It's kind of an upside down thing. Our reward for obedience is intimacy with Christ. He is our source of true joy. Jesus wasn't even exempt from suffering. He had to be obedient, and he suffered. Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8 says, "During the days of Jesus's life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered." You see, Jesus's yeses to God led him to the cross. Our yeses to God lead us to the cross too, on our knees. We submit ourselves to God. We might experience suffering along the way, but it's the only way to experience real joy. Jesus endured the cross because of the joy awaiting him, the presence of God. After the cross, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father in his presence, and we can sit in his presence too. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand." Now, before we traveled to Ukraine in 2006, I had purchased a journal to record our daily adventures in. And on the first pages, before we even left the country, I wrote out some verses. I wrote out James 1:27, which is a pretty popular verse when we talk about adoption and orphans. It's pure and faultless religion in the sight of God our Father is this, to care for or look after orphans and widows in their distress. But if you jump up several verses before 27, if you go to James 1 verses 2 through 4, I wrote these verses in my journal as well. "Consider it great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Little did I know before we got on that airplane how much I would be tested. But I did learn endurance, and I did mature in my faith, and I experienced joy like never before. Philippians 2, 5 through 11, let me read you these verses. Stick with me here, it's six verses, but we can do it. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now, go back to that very first verse 5 that I read. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We're to follow the example Christ set for us, and that example is serving with humility, right? He took on the very nature of a servant, and he humbled himself. This is the time of year where we need to be serving others. We experience joy when we serve others with love. When we die to self and serve, that's where we experience Christ. We experience joy. It's very countercultural, right, in the culture that we live in today. Now, I know, especially when I was first home from Ukraine with our three kids, again, going back 13 years ago, we had seven kids, ages 3 through 17. Those months, those first months, were filled with doctor's appointments and dentist appointments. In fact, one of my Ukrainian kids had to go to the dentist for major dental work 11 times that first year. One had to have a surgery. We had to go to specialists. And laundry? I was now doing laundry for a family of nine. We homeschooled, so I was homeschooling every day, six of our seven children. And I had to make breakfast and lunch for all seven kids because they were home every day. And meal preparation. Now, there were nights where even my parents, who were retired and very helpful to us at that time, they would come for dinner. So there were nights where I was cooking dinner, and most nights it was for the 7 kids and my husband and I. So there was 9 people I was serving dinner to every night, sometimes 11. And it was a crazy, crazy season. And I can laugh at some of the things now, because when I was first, we were first home and I was making dinner, and the 2 older kids, Anna and Andre, would kind of hover over me in the kitchen because they'd never seen meal preparation before. They had lived in an orphanage. They were in an institution and meal was just brought into them. They didn't have that family kitchen time. So they would hover over me and watch my every move as I made dinner. And with their limited English words that they were gaining, they would want to know, like, what is this? And I don't know, how do you explain spaghetti and meatballs to a child who's never seen that before? So it was like tense sometimes and so crazy. But there are moments that I treasure. As I served my family, as I walked out in obedience what God called me to do, joy filled my heart. My old life was over. My new life, our new normal, was much busier and harder, but full of joy, a joy I would never have experienced any other way, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. I discovered that the measure of love I pour out is the measure of joy Jesus pours back in. Serving and blessing others is another way we experience joy. In Matthew 25, Jesus explains to his disciples, he tells them, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me. And then his disciples were like, wait, what? When did we see you sick or in prison or any of that? And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me. You see, when we serve others, we are serving Jesus. And that is how we experience his presence. And in his presence is how we experience joy, true joy, Jesus joy. The Advent and Christmas season is a time to focus on serving others. But serving others is something we really should be practicing all year long. And then we can experience joy all year long too. So I ask you, how are you sharing the love of Jesus with others this holiday season? Hopefully, you're not growing weary of hearing my adoption stories, because I have another one. This time, it was about a time where I was blessed beyond words by the kind actions of friends. This one takes place 9 years ago. We brought our youngest son, Slava, home from Ukraine in 2010. We actually arrived home on Thanksgiving Day, 2010. So just a few, weeks leading up to Christmas. And then while I was in Ukraine, I had been there for 4 weeks. I ached for my church family. I missed church and I missed my normal routine and I missed my church friends and I just wanted to be at church. But our little guy was not quite ready for public appearances. So one Sunday morning, just a couple of weeks before Christmas, my husband Wayne took all the other kids to church and I stayed home with little Slava. He was 5 at the time. And not long after Wayne had left for church with the kids, there was a knock on my door and I opened it to find the O'Connor family from our church. Sue had her guitar. She often was on the worship team at church. EJ, her husband, had communion, and their daughter Carrie brought along her wooden nativity set. Sue sang some worship songs. She led us in some worship songs. EJ, an elder at our church, served me communion. And Carrie used those chunky wooden nativity pieces to act out the Christmas story of Mama Mary, Papa Joseph, and Lala Jesus. She acted that out for Slava in a very simple, childlike way that he could somewhat comprehend. And for me, I was wrecked. I sobbed. It just ministered to my soul. Their visit lasted maybe 30 minutes, but it has remained in my heart as a treasured, joy-filled memory for the past 9 years. I will never forget it. The family took a few minutes to pour out love, and then they went on to church. you may be feeling empty, right? But when we pour out, Jesus fills us up. They nourished my heart with some simple actions. They brought the gifts and talents and things that they could do, and it just ministered to my weary soul. How can you nourish a weary heart today? Who needs 30 minutes of your time? When you sit at the feet of Jesus and take a few minutes of quiet just to praise God and to ponder these things, he'll put somebody on your heart that needs you. And it might just be 30 minutes of your time doing something that comes pretty easy to you, but it can bless somebody beyond measure. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." We experience joy in the presence of Jesus. The demands of our busy schedules seem to rob us of joy at times. For me, it's the demands of a large and ever-growing family, ministry responsibilities, book deadlines, and during the holiday season, my to-do list seems to quadruple. All of these things can crowd out precious time with Jesus. And I don't think I'm alone in this struggle. How can we be mindful of God's presence today? It's vital to our life and our faith for us to have time in his presence. Well, one thing I would recommend is start with thankfulness. Write down every day, whether it's in a notebook or a journal, or get a jar and fill it with little pieces of paper every day, something that you're thankful for. Thank God and praise him. And maybe it's just for a hot cup of coffee on a cold day, or after circling the parking lot, you found a spot nearby the crowded store. Whatever it is, little things, big things, make thankfulness and gratitude a daily practice. It's one way that we can begin to really experience the presence of God. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." When we take time to daily seek God, he takes care of everything else. The greatest joys of my life were birthed out of intimacy with Christ. It was in my quiet moments in the Word and in prayer with God that God placed adoption on my heart. I heard him. I heard his still small voice because I made it a practice to listen for it. And I made it a practice to obey him. And I chose to obey the call to adopt. And I might have missed the call altogether if I wasn't listening, if I wasn't in his presence. I found there's no greater place to be than in the center of God's will for my life. And it starts in his presence, at his feet, just some quiet time sitting and pondering our gratitude, our thankfulness, his goodness to us. On this podcast, I have had the honor of talking with so many amazing guests who walk through hard, painful things, but they testify how God showed up and they chose to respond to him. God filled them with hope and peace and joy and love. And I hope you will respond to Jesus too. I hope this Advent season you will take the time to really focus on the real meaning of the season, as we like to say. Respond to Jesus. Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. We have Christ with us. He is with us. Now, I pray that in 2020, you will take time to sit in his presence. There you will experience joy, peace, hope, and love. Love is our focus for the fourth and final episode of this Advent series, so look for that next week. I really hope you'll tune in, and I hope you've been experiencing some of these things that we're talking about. I thank you for taking time out of your busy holiday schedule to listen today. I pray that you will be blessed, that your 2020 will be joy-filled, peace-filled, hope-filled, and love-filled. Thank you again for taking time out. I am Sandra Flack, and if you've been enjoying some of these adoption stories, you'll soon be able to read the whole story in my new book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It will be available mid-2020, so stay tuned for that. Please remember our 2020 Vision campaign. You can help us launch Care Portal in the next two counties by giving a $20 monthly gift or a one-time $240 gift. You can give safely and securely online at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on Donate and then click on 2020 Vision. You can find and follow more episodes of this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and right here on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just search for the show by name if you're looking for it on iTunes. It's Orphans No More. And be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Justice for Orphans.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.